The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Amen. Can I hear an amen? Now, remember our theme for the year is that we're expecting continuous divine victory. In this light, I'm starting a series, and today I'm doing Overcoming the World. Overcoming the World. Would you kindly turn with me in your Bible to First Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, and I'll read the first 4 verses. 1 John chapter 5, maybe the first 5 or whatever. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Our focus is on verse 4. But verse 1 says, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Very simple. In other words, the process for being born again is very simple. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God has salvation. And he continues, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see, Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible is saying everybody that loves God will automatically love the Son he has begotten. And the Son is Jesus. So let me put it again. Whosoever loves God will automatically love his Son. That means that if you really love me, you will love my family. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Yes, I may have some difficult persons around me and whatever, but you will still love my family. Now, verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. The Bible says that the way that you determine that you love one another as children of God is when we learn to love God, number one, and number two, to keep his commandments. Verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, the Bible is emphasizing what it means by we loving God. And it's saying that if we say we love God, then the important thing is that we will keep his commandments. And it's encouraging us to keep it and say the commandments are not grievous. They don't bring trauma. They don't bring pain. They don't bring frustration. The commandments of Satan can be difficult to observe. It will tell you to go and lie 3 days in the cemetery, and that a demon will come at 1 a.m. and speak to you. He can ask you to roll on the beach one side 9 times, the other 9 times, and do that 36 times. And when you finish, before you be giving a concoction to drink, whether it's nice or not, you will drink it. Whether it will give you running stomach or not, you will drink it. So the commandments of the enemy are grievous, but the commandments of God are not grievous. Verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we want to pick this verse and look at it critically while we relate it to other scriptures. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, what is it that is born of God? Number one, to be born of God means to be born by the supreme deity. And the supreme deity we are talking about is Yahweh himself. We are talking about the Most High God. We are talking about the creator of the whole universe. And that's what it means to be born of God. Another commentary says to be born of God means to follow God's prescribed order. His prescribed order for spiritual birth, that is your salvation, is number one. And his prescribed order for living the Christian faith is another. So in, let's go back to Gospel according to St. John. From 1 John, we're going to St. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. So keep a finger where we are now, or a bookmark. The Bible says in John 1, 12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, this scripture is talking about people who are adults, who are grown up, and who had the privilege of hearing the ministry of Christ. Before Jesus came, there was Judaism. There were other religions as well. But what was associated with the Jews was Judaism. So when Jesus came and started ministering the word of salvation, what he was expecting was that they will open up their hearts and receive the word according to what is prescribed in it. And the Bible says, as many as received his ministry, he gave power. In other words, the Bible is talking about some people who were still growing up and were adults, but did not have salvation. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that nobody was born with Christ in their hearts. Is somebody hearing me? At a stage in your life, you must consciously accept Jesus and embrace him into your life so that you are sure about your salvation. And the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. He gave the authority, the grace, to call them also the sons of God. And the Bible says, even to them that believe on his name. So even apart from receiving his word and his message, the Bible says those who believed on his name were also giving that grace. Now look at verse 13. Distinguishing for us that which is born of God from that which is not born of God. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So three ways of birth was not approved for salvation. The first one is to be born of blood. The second, to be born of the will of the flesh. And the third, to be born of the will of man. The Bible says these three ways, if you live in, you cannot be assured that one day when you die and leave this world, you will make eternity with the Lord himself. But it says that these people who have salvation are people who are born of God. And that is what brings us back to 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. That whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is that which overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, if you skip to verse 6, it's talking about the fact that this is he that come by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, the word water stands for the word of God. The Bible says, for ye are washed and cleansed by the washing of the water by the word. Your salvation is preceded by the word. Can I hear an amen from somebody? When that happens, what follows is the cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what follows later is the activity of the Spirit of God that takes the nature of sin out of you, and nature of eternal death, and gives you eternal life, and confers upon you sonship by adoption through the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen to God's glory. So these three operate, and it is the Spirit of God that bears witness with your spirit that you are born again. You see, you hear the word, you believe the word, you confess that you are a sinner and you need to repent. The blood of Jesus cleanses you, and the Spirit of God finds you a place clean enough to come and do his work. And his initial work is to take the old nature out of you, the nature of sin, and to give you the nature of righteousness. And afterwards, the Spirit of God now lives in you to bear witness with your spirit that you are born again. I think you should clap for God. So anybody that is sincerely born again has a witness in himself. This witness is not an external witness. This witness is not what your mother told you or your father told you. But this witness is a direct witness from God. Once this witness settles in your heart, and you continue reading the word and studying the Bible and fellowshipping with the saints and meditating on the word and praying and evangelizing and walking in the light of scripture, what happens is that you do not lose this witness in your heart. Once you don't lose it, you don't feel the need to be born again again. There are some people that will get born again in January, and then in March they hear another message and feel like getting born again. Then in August they hear another message, they feel they are not born again at all, and they start the process again. God does not want us to be going back like that. So what he did in his wisdom was to give us a witness in our spirits. And this witness bears witness with our spirits that we are born again. And if we are born again, then and living for the Lord, then we are his purchased possession. And the Bible says he sealed us with the Holy Spirit against the day of redemption. So anybody that has a witness in the spirit that you are born again, let me hear you shout and clap to God's glory. If the church does not teach about the witnessing of the Holy Spirit with our spirits, then anytime a person falters, you will feel like going over the process again. So you may not be growing. The Bible says if anybody is overtaken by a fault and we appear before God, we should not say that we are without sin, but we should confess our sins. And God is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and continue fellowship with us. But our relationship, our status with Christ is not changed Because he bears witness with your spirit. It is when you don't have this witness, and it's good to be sure that you have it, that you are giving opportunity to walk up front to the altar and give your life to Christ. From then on, you must practice the things that steep the fact that you are a child of God. Can I hear you clap again to God's glory? If I ask you, are you a man or woman? You will smile and say, Pastor, you don't know the question you're asking. Because from childhood, you have had some features, biological features, that make you know whom you are. So if you are a woman, you have those features. If you are a man, you have those features. So you grow up with the conviction of being a man or woman. It is when people lose their conviction that they want to be transsexuals. Oh, come on. Now I'm getting into another zone. It is when people lose their conviction that a man will want to say, I want to change to be a woman. Because when I look at my hips are like that of a woman. And when I look at my breast, it is slightly popping up like that of a woman. And when I listen to my voice, it is not as deep as that of a man. You see, there is something inside you. If we look inside you, can we find a womb? If we can't find a womb, you are a brother. You are not a sister. Oh, church, you are not clapping here. You are a male. You are not a female. So whatever processes you go through in the hospital, and they say that they have changed you, essentially in the eyes of God, you have not been changed. What he ordained you before you were conceived in the womb of your mother, like Jeremiah, and you were sanctified and ordained to be a man or woman, still remains the same. You have only distorted the image of God by allowing your mere feelings to control you. Let me move out of this place. So every child of God must have a witness. Ask the people around you. Ask three people around you. Do you have the witness in your heart that you are born again? There are things that may make you lose your witness. Because you may be walking in an area that doesn't please God. So the enemy may be using that to judge your conscience. And to make you feel bad and unclean and dirty. But as a child of God, you have to move out of that place to preserve your salvation. Because it's the most important thing in your life. It's not the money that that person will give you. It's not the house that that person will give you. It's not the pleasure and satisfaction. It is what you are in the sight of God. And when Christ appears, the way he will see you. Put your hands together. So these people were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. And being born of God means to be born of the supreme deity. Some have been born of the devil. The devil is not the supreme deity. It's a type of deity. So they've been born by some deity. But you and I have been born by the Most High God. And we must be proud of it, that we are children of God. This identity is greater than your tribal identity. So the Bible says, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, that means anybody, irrespective of your race, your nationality, your ethnicity, irrespective of your religious background, anybody that presents himself and submits himself to Christ can be born of God. It may be a man or woman, young person or an adult, that person can be born of God. So whatsoever is born of God has certain advantages. So not being born of God disadvantages you. You can be in a congregation of the people who are born again and not be born again, and you are disadvantaged. It is in the long run that you may realize that you have been fooling yourself. So it's important for you to be sure that you are born again, and to know that you have a witness in your heart that when Christ shall appear, you shall have a place with the Most High God. So for whatsoever is born of God, now look at the advantage. The Bible says, overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God. And the Bible even didn't say whosoever, but whatsoever is born in the will of God. A marriage that is born of God. A business that is born of God. A career that is born of God. Whatsoever is born of God. A farm business born of God. Overcometh the world. The word overcometh is from the Greek word Nike, which means, number one, to conquer or defeat. Number two, overcometh means to be victorious. You have won the battle. You are celebrating. Number three, to prevail. Sometimes in a wrestling competition, one may hold the other and they may be at a stalemate, and one wants to toss the other down, and it's like wrestler A is almost putting wrestler B down. Wrestler B fights back and prevails and puts wrestler A down and finishes him. Now the Bible says you have prevailed. Oh, I didn't hear the amen. In other words, life may seem to be defeating you, but there is a supernatural hand that will raise you up and put your enemy down and put you on top of your enemy. You have prevailed. When Jacob was running away from his brother, and he found himself in the wilderness, and he had that encounter with God, God changed his name to Israel. And he says, for you have prevailed. You will have wrestling bouts, but you will prevail. There will be issues like boxing contests, but you will prevail. You may be like in a soccer match and be 4-0 down up to the 85th minute. But in a matter of time plus extra time, you will score and I'll score your enemy. Oh, come on. I didn't hear an amen. So you must have the conqueror's mentality. Some of those people like Hannibal and those people in history, like Alexander the Great and all those people, they conquered. They prevailed over nations, and they subdued them, and they sat on top of them. The Bible says you are a conqueror. It says you are victorious. You are the one that will finally lift the arms up in the air. I get bothered when believers worship without lifting up hands. I get bothered when they even pray without following what the Bible says, that lifting up holy hands without doubt and wrath while you pray. Let me see you raise your two hands up in celebration. Yes, isn't that beautiful? Now bring them down. Clap those hands because they are victorious hands. So, to overcome means, number one, conquer. Number two, you are victorious. Number three, prevail. And number four, to subdue. There are things that will want to rise up. There are things that will want to rebel against you. There are things that will want to change the order of God. But there is a decree favoring you that you will put them to where they belong. You will show them sense. You will let them know that they are in class one and that they are not in the university yet. God has given you authority to subdue nations and kingdoms. He gave it to Christ so that you subdue thrones and dominions. So, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh or conquereth, is victorious, prevails and subdues the world. That expression, the world, is in the Greek cosmos. And this expression talks about orderly arrangement. When you look at how God created the world, and he created the entire universe, and the world is only a small part of the universe, and they tell you the number of other planetary bodies that are existent. You have Pluto, you have Mars, you have Uranus, you have Neptune, you have all the other planetary bodies. And God has arranged things that the earth is revolving around an axis and going around the sun. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And God has scheduled it that a year would be either 364 1/4 or 365 days. And God has scheduled it, and there is consistency and there is constancy. Then we say the world that God created is a divine cosmos. But after the devil fell, when he was overthrown, he came to distort some of the things in the world that we live. So the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, who has blinded people so that they would not have the advantage of salvation. Now, that is to say that God has his cosmos, his own arrangement, and Satan has influenced the worldly system and has rearranged things so that it may not favor the child of God, so that it will only favor those who serve him and those who worship him and those who are rebellious to God. But the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are ways of destruction. So Satan is to influence you to bow down to his cosmos, so that at the end of the day he will get the opportunity of destroying you. But God forbid. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear. Let me use some examples in recent past. Let me use the apartheid system in South Africa. There were blacks living many, many years in South Africa. They were the owners of the land. They were the indigenous of the land. And different groupings of white people came. There were times that Germans came, the British came. There were about 3 or 4 different nations that came from Europe to colonize South Africa. At the end of the day, they left South Africa with a certain cosmos, if you like, with a certain system that did not favor the black man, but it favored the white man. And the South Africans had to fight it. The rest of the world had to team up with South Africa to overthrow that apartheid system that was wicked and that was not never meant to make the black man prosper. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Similarly, Satan has fashioned things and has fashioned it in such a way that he would like people to conform to the worldly system. So Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, what does it say? It says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be ye not conformed to this world, but, and listen to this part, verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to the demonic cosmos. Don't identify yourself with the things that the world does. For some of us, we are only led by the world. Everything we do is because some very uncultured, strange musician is doing it somewhere. Whether it's dressing, whether it's talking, whether it's the way you carry yourself. The Bible has given us examples in the Bible. And it says that, be ye followers of them who through faith and patience, those that have trusted God, believe God, and have stood on the word. If there is anything you want to copy, find how they carry themselves. It's getting quieter now. Find how they keep themselves in chastity. Find how they keep themselves in sobriety, in humility. Find how they keep themselves not in extravagant lifestyles, but in modesty and proper way of living. Oh, can you put your hands together? I'm trying to avoid citing some examples, lest I be looked at as if I don't know what I'm talking about. Tell somebody, God has made you unique already. There are tattoos. And somebody can write, Jesus is Lord, in a tattoo, fine. But when you tattoo your body, until you are covered by tattoos, God will accept you. But even in some systems of men, you'll not be accepted. Recently, those who had applied to join the armed forces, some of the criteria was they don't want to find tattoo on your body. Because some tattoos can be profane. Some tattoos can bear the image of Satan. Some tattoos can show some secret and strange societies that people belong to. So in order to solve this, they don't want any tattoos. Some can draw the head of Hitler on their chest. What am I saying? The Bible says, be ye followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. So let me get back to scripture. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And we said the world means orderly arrangement in the Greek. It means arrangement that is based on divine morality. It's an arrangement with a godly decoration, if you may put it that way. But Satan has influenced the worldly system so that if we don't teach the principles of the word of God, some of you may be left behind. Because after you have honored the worldly system in work, you'll be left with nothing. You'll be a spent force. Your energy would have been exhausted, and you will move into your latter stages, God forbid, with nothing. Because the world system, it can be cruel and may not be favorable. So the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the worldly system.
Some of the things that are fighting your prosperity and fighting your marriage and fighting your health and fighting your progress and fighting your promotion, those things you have been empowered to overcome. Some of the dreams you don't like, the nightmarish activity, the creatures that are chasing you, and all that kind of thing, you have been empowered to overcome it. Come on, put your hands together to God's glory. Although many have been ordained to overcome it, many are not practicing what it takes to overcome it. Because we need to grow, we need to develop, we need to study the word, we need to meditate on the word, we need to know the promises that are in the word, and we need to lift the level of our prayer as we grow. We need to learn how to be in the fellowship of others, that we use the prayer of agreement beyond our families. I'm not saying your family's agreement is bad. It's excellent. It's beautiful. But that's why God created the church. Otherwise, your family should be the church. So whatsoever is born of God overcomes the demonic arrangement that is disfavorable to the children of God. But first of all, in order to overcome the system of the world, you must be born again. The New Testament records a story about a man called Sceva, and he had 7 sons, and they had seen Paul and others ministering by the Spirit of God and casting out devils. So they decided to mimic or copy the way Paul did things. So I don't know how Paul did cast out the demons. But if he shook it at an angle and cast it out, they also shook it at that same angle. You're not getting me. If he spoke with a baritone in his voice, in the name of Jesus, they also mimicked it and mimicked it even better. In the name of Jesus Christ. So they were copying and going around, giving the impression that they were Christians and they were born again. A Christian is not determined by a tag on your shirt, but is determined by what happens inside your spirit. You bearing a witness that you are born again. So you may live with Christians in a home and not be born again. You may worship with Christians in the church, and if you don't submit yourself to be born again, you will not be born again. You may be a pastor's son or daughter, and if you don't submit yourself to be born again, you won't be born again. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, overcometh the unfavorable arrangements in the world, and this is the victory. Now God is pointing to a particular victory. That's what we call the divine victory, because there are other kinds of victory, a partial victory. Oh, you're not getting me. In other words, living by a crooked way and swindling and hoodwinking people and telling them that you are a visa contractor and you have helped about 2,000 people in the last 7 years abroad, and that if they paid to you a certain sum, you will help them to go to whichever country they would like to. Now, if you succeed and nobody finds where you are, it's a type of victory, but it's an evil victory. But the Bible says, and this is the victory. In other words, there's only one kind of victory, and that victory is in the Bible. Can you put your hands together? You know, you can deceive a lady to marry her, and tell her that you are the son of the former president of the republic of your country. And talk about the things you have and the offshore accounts you have and the investments you have, and talk big. But after you marry, we will see the victory that took you into that marriage. Oh, come on, put your hands together. And this is the victory. What's the definition of victory there? We have defined it in various ways. But in reading further, number one, victory means to conquer. Number two, victory means deliverance. And number three, victory means salvation. Salvation can only be given by God according to the word. He may use men like David to help Israel, but salvation is a preserve of God. No man can come to the Father except through me. Deliverance talks about being in a state where you can't rescue yourself. One of the greatest enemies to humanity is the devil and his demons. And the only one who has overcome him is Jesus Christ. That's why he gave that authority to us, to walk under his authority and to execute the same over the devil. So it's important to appreciate the fact that our deliverance is hooked to the victory that Christ had over Satan on Calvary's cross. I'm not hearing a loud amen from delivered people. Let me hear the deliverance shouts. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Very systematic. Whatsoever is born of God, whether it's a business, a career, a ministry, a relationship, overcometh. In other words, conquers, is victorious, prevails, subdues the world. The cosmos, an ordinary or orderly arrangement, but Satan has tampered with it. And because of that, the world system, the principles that operate in the system of the world, does not favor the church. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There is a simple victory that overcometh the world, and it is our faith. What's the definition of faith? We'll just have a few and continue another time. Number one, faith means confidence. You have confidence in God's word. You have confidence in God. You have confidence that he will do what he has said. You wait for him. You believe him. Faith. Number two, faith is trust. Trust means to lean on something. And you only lean on something that you know will not make you fall. There are things when you lean on, they will expire. Political administrations end. Am I not speaking the truth? So if you lean on it and it expires, you are in trouble. There are so human beings that you lean on, and when God calls them to glory, then you are in trouble. But there is only one person that we can lean on, and only one word, which is his word, that we can lean on. And the word trust gives the impression to lean on something to such an extent that if the thing fails, then you have failed. There is nothing else that you can trust to lean on. The Bible says some trust in horses, others in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Most High God. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion and cannot be removed. If anybody can remove you from where you are, then you are not trusting God. But listen to me, even if they moved you like Isaac, you will be established in the next place. Until from Isaac to Sitna, you will come into your Rehoboth and you will be productive. Can I hear an amen? They may disinherit you, but there's an anointing on you that when you enter your domain, nothing will disinherit you. You must trust the Lord. You must believe God. You must be patient to wait on him. You must stake all your trust on him. I used to observe a lot of lotto stakers, lottery, when I was young. And sometimes they would send us to the dealers to go and stake some numbers. And these numbers were purported to be sure bankers. At that time, the head of the lotteries department was called Mr. Hutchison. And these people would take old records, because each week he releases five numbers, which are the winning numbers, out of a stock of 90. And then the people would look at and say, look at 1972. Drop down to so-so and so. And look at what Hutchison played. This week, Hutchison will play the same. They will put all their hope on that number, share it with others, and go and stake. And Hutchison will dodge them. Oh, Hutchison, we thank you. In those days, things were not demystified like now, where a machine would do it and it's shown on television. But we believe as if the man had something in his bedroom that he moves. I have studied the life of those lotto stakers, and they had a miserable end because it was nothing you could lean on. I would be very surprised if you are staking lotto and you are a member of this congregation. I will be very surprised if you belong to any betting club. Oh, come on. And you are betting between the match that Liverpool is to play with another club. And you have staked your hopes on prosperity on that thing. Your trust must be in God. Sister, a brother can choose to marry you when you are dating, or he can change his mind. If he changes his mind before marriage, your world should not collapse. The psalmist says, I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help is from God. Your world must not end. Suicide is not an option. You must get out of your depression like David. My soul, why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in the Lord. So, the Bible is saying that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which is confidence, which is trust, and which is fidelity. And fidelity is talking about trustworthiness. It's talking about faithfulness. It's talking about reliability. It's talking about dependability. all things change, colors fade. People start young and fresh, they grow old and they have changed. Houses look modern, but after 30 years, they look very old. There is only one thing that says, for I am the Lord, I change it not. Oh, come on, you should be clapping loud. These are the things that should make you clap. Not God will bless you. This one, acknowledge God in your life, that he's the one who changeth not. And when you are trusting him, you do not doubt the fact that God will do the work he says he would do. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning as well as the end. I never start and don't finish. There is no unfinished business in my life. The grace that came upon Zerubbabel to lay the foundation is the same grace that will help Zerubbabel finish the thing. The Bible says, except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord watches, the watchman watches, but in vain. And I want you to know that if you want to brag, then brag in the name of the Lord. And brag on the word of God, that he said it and he would do it. That there shall be a performance of the things which the Lord spoke about. Ah, are you hearing what I'm saying? God is not man, neither is he like the Son of Man. Has he not said it, and will he not do it good? So you are starting on the premise of confidence in God's word, trust in his word, that all other things will fail, but your God will help you. And in the end, you will not be smiling, you'll be laughing, you'll be rejoicing, you'll be celebrating, you'll be running around, because it says they that believe in the Lord shall never be put to shame. May your shame be wiped off, may your reproaches be taken away, and may your confidence in God be established by the grace of God. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion and cannot be removed. So it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In other words, your faith is so important in the scheme of things for the divine continuous victories that you will encounter, that you must be mindful about how to develop your faith. You can't leave your faith to get rusted. You can't leave your faith to get squeaky and jerky. You can't leave your faith to be weak. You have to use faith on daily basis and trust God at all times. When you trust God with your faith in small things, when the hour of big things come, it doesn't shake you. The God that delivered me from small things like the bear and from the young lion, that same God will deliver me from this tall giant. I'm over 9 feet. Is somebody hearing me? That same God will deliver me because I have been exercising my faith. Oh, come on, shout. Your faith is increasing while you are even shouting and listening to the word of God. So your faith is important. So you can't afford to be in service one week and stay out of service and say, oh, there's this and there's an omotuo joint. Can't you eat omotuo after the wed? Look, omotuo is and soup, whether it's chicken or goat like soup, is best celebrated after the wed has settled in you. Oh, come on. Why would you play golf on a Sunday morning when you have no peace in your heart? I would rather be in church, capture the word, so when I stand on the golf course, I can play. Oh, come on, come on, somebody here. So there is nothing that you can substitute for the word of God. So whether you are driving, or whether you are laying in bed, or whether you're walking in the fields or by the seashore, you are reflecting on the word. And at any time, you must schedule a time, either you are listening to it, or you are reading it, or you are meditating on it, to feed your faith, so your faith becomes substantive and your faith matters, because the victories you are going to get in this life are based on your faith. Now turn with me to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Yes, somebody shouting, yeah. Whether it's a cry or not, it's still yeah. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Is somebody there? Yes. So, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Now listen to me before we read. You see, the way you do things will reflect your faith. The way you respond to the word of God. The way you do things. The way you respond to service. Respond to a subgroup activity. If you have faith in God, you will show your best. You will not be casual. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says, behold, his soul is lifted up, and it's not upright in him. We are interested in the latter part. But the just shall live by his faith. But the just shall live by his faith. Turn to somebody and say, tell the person, you will live by your faith. Tell three people around. Very important to hydrate. The just shall live by his faith. Now let me give you the historical background to this scripture. The kingdom of Israel got split into two. So we have the northern kingdom, and then we had the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was called Judah. And Judah, together with the leaders, were not submissive to God. Judah entered into idol worship, and Judah also became violent, and they became proud. So they entered into idolatry. They were violent. That means there was injustice. Somebody could go and rob somebody in the street. Somebody could break into the home or the car of another, and or take somebody's cattle. And there was no injustice in the place. And there was arrogance and pride. When God spoke to them, they wouldn't hear. So God decided that in order to teach them a lesson, he will allow a particular kingdom to come from the south and attack Judah. Those people were the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans were Babylonians. So the Bible says that in the period when these Chaldeans will come, They were going to oppress Israel so much that some people would not survive. Then God is now showing the category of persons who will make it. When the Chaldeans, who were Babylonians, came around, and it says that the just, that is the righteous, that in our terms is the born again, who walk in faith. So the just shall live by his faith. In other words, these people will have the capacity to endure. Everybody will go through the same things at the same temperature and pressure, but they will have some extra grace from God to go through the period. They will also have extra grace to rise above the circumstances, and they will have extra grace to rule over that world, and they will have extra grace to prosper even in the midst of adversity. The just shall live by his faith. The same things you face are the same things pastors and elders and deacons and bishops face. The same things. The confusion at home, the frustration with your children, the difficulty in securing a job, the lack of growth and manifestation of profits, the outstanding projects that should be done which have not been covered. You are faced just like the preacher is faced with the same thing. The headaches, the tummy upsets, and the different things you face, everybody else faces the same. The question is, when you are going through, how do you overcome? That's where God in his wisdom has said, be ye followers of those who have been through that same path, faith and patience, because such people endure and go through the difficult times and the challenging times and the distressing times with their faith. They believe God for the best in the worst circumstances. They hope against hope when there is nothing to hope in, when the doctor has adjudged that it is hopeless. These are the people that when every head is down, they find a way to lift their head up, because the Bible says that God is my glory and the lifter up of my head. So shame may have come, but there is a prophetic glory upon your life, and your head is about to be lifted in divine confidence. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So the fact that you have faith means that you are a candidate to be tested, to prove that the faith you have is a faith whose object is God. You see, I can have faith in a country and I say, when I go there, I will prosper. That's the object of my faith. I can have faith in an uncle and I say, if this uncle will help me, all my problems will be solved. I can also have faith in a boyfriend, and I say, if this guy marries me, or if I am just a second girlfriend, oh yeah, all my problems will be solved. The object of your faith is not God. But faith has God as the object of it. Faith looks unto the greatness of God and sees the problem is so small. Faith looks at the power of God and sees these other powers attacking me are nothing before the Most High God. Faith looks at the provisions of God and says, this shortage is only for a temporary period, and it shan't be long when I will transition into a period of abundance. Faith looks at the opposition. It may be huge, it may be colossal, it may be big, it may be gigantic, but your God is greater than your opposition. Your God is greater than the debts that you owe. Your God is greater than the money you need to finish your project. Your God is bigger than that which is giving you the headache, particularly the school fees of your children, which are not yet paid. Your God is big. So, church, that brings us to the fact that your faith is introduced to battles. If you don't like battles, then you're in the wrong business. And when you decide not to walk for God and with God, and decide to choose the other way around, the battle is even worse. Jesus said, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. God forbid for you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Devil will waste you and make the person like a desolate land, and you will look back and weep. Where you are is where you should be in the faith. You must be in the household of faith. Under no circumstances should you be so discouraged that you say you can't pick yourself up. Pick yourself up, even if you don't have money. Walk to church as your faith. Oh, now the clapping is going down. So, develop your faith. It may start doing small, but it will grow gradually and gradually. By the time you realize, the miracle will arrive. I am prophesying that by the grace of God, a certain anointing will fall upon this congregation and those who are listening to me online, that this grace will support them and enable them and help them and guide them and take one step at a time and build their faith and their confidence in God, till you will see the miracle with your own eyes. You will taste it. You will touch it. You will feel it. Your circumstances will change. God will glorify your life. May the Lord bless you, brother, in the name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you, brother. May God bless you, sister. May God bless all of you there. So when you are born again, some people will support you with their faith. They will pray for you when there's headache. They will support you when you need clothing. They will help you when you are aged. But you must build your faith, because somebody built his faith from age 75 to 100. And beyond that, he continued building his faith. So what I'm saying is that at any age you are, you can still build your faith. You can still build your faith. Abraham, 75 when he first met God, built his faith until he got what he wanted. In conclusion, and I wish I was not ending now, I am telling you and prophesying, what it seems like you don't have now, by the close of the year, you would have had majority. And let me prophesy well. By the close of the year, the things that are very important and on top of your list, may the grace of God answer them all for you. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. The Bible says a horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. Everybody listening to me now has access to supernatural victory. your faith opens you into that well, and that graves and envelopes you. So when a nation believes God, God does for them. When Africa, who has nothing, believe God to be protected, God protects them. You are not better than those whose figures are spiking astronomically with COVID infection. You are not better than those who are dying 600 people in a day. But a certain grace that released the victory of God fell upon you. Today, you'll be smiling in your life. Come on, 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 come on. There is a faith that overcomes the world, and this is the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, even our faith. Put your hands together and thank God, everyone. Oh, church, I'm talking about Madam. God bless you. God bless you. The power of God rest upon you. In the name of, come on, you are not clapping and shouting. This is a victory celebration. This is a victory parade. I brought my handkerchief. I brought it. Where is your handkerchief? I'm not looking for the one you have used. I don't want that. Don't bring that, the one you have used out. You think we are joking? Listen. People are going to force to put money on your mobile phone. If you won't receive it, I will prophesy elsewhere. People are going to force to transfer money into your bank. They will force you. Oh, come on, shake that grace of God in your hand. Brother, God bless you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People are going to carry what you need and what you have been praying for, and they are going to pack it in your house. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Oh, come on. Come on, Shami Ojuba. Oh, come on. Shami. Mama, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Say, God bless you. There's a victory coming. It's supernatural. It's from God. It's from God. It's from God. It's not of man, brother. It's not of man. It's from God. It's from God. That victory will affect your business. It will affect your vocation. It will affect your academic career. Even your children and grandchildren shall benefit from this victory, because you will win one battle and the benefits will run through generations in your family. David won and Solomon came to enjoy. Grandma, God bless you. Oh, come on, shout and clap your hands. Shout amen. Ah, God bless you, madam. God bless you.